With the Pope's visit, a look at changes he's been making to how the Vatican handles money. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. First, China and its business relations. Chinese President Xi Jinping will attend the U.S.-China Internet Industry Forum in Seattle today, the second day of his week-long visit to the U.S. There, he'll meet with executives from Apple, Google, Facebook, and others. It could be an awkward meeting. China's government is now asking these companies to sign a pledge of compliance. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The cost of doing business in China just became higher for U.S. tech companies. They're being asked to sign a pledge of compliance that requires them to hand over user data and intellectual property to China's government. Jeremy Goldcorn is founder of Donwei, a research firm that tracks China's internet.
I would imagine these tech companies are going to be in a very difficult place. They're going to be feel a lot of pressure to sign this because they're going to be worried about being excluded from the Chinese market.
There's a good reason for this pledge, says Wu Xinbo. He directs the Center for American Studies at Fudan University in Shanghai.
The reason to ask them to sign this is the Snowden revelation. We learned that some of the U.S. companies, they are collaborating with U.S. National Security Agency or other government agencies.
Data leaked by Edward Snowden showed that Apple, Google, Facebook, and others helped the NSA spy on U.S. citizens. Though the companies denied the claim, Wu says China's new requirement for these tech companies is to protect Chinese companies and consumers from the prying eye of foreign intelligence agencies. Yet Chinese consumers may not care, says Jeremy Goldcorn. They're already used to the likelihood of surveillance by their own government. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And some grim economic news from China today. Manufacturing activity there shrunk sharply for early this month, the biggest drop in 6 years. Let's do some other numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up 1.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly at this point. Volkswagen's supervisory board meets today to hear CEO Martin Winterkorn explain how 11 million VW and Audis with small diesel engines were rigged to cheat pollution tests. One German newspaper has sources suggesting Winterkorn's job is on the line. VW stock is up 3% this morning, but it's still down 29% since the news of the scandal broke on Friday. As you've been hearing, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church is in Washington today and set to meet with President Obama and the First Lady in about 2 hours here. One business angle here is the effort of Pope Francis to fix the Vatican's finances and its accounting systems. Soon after he was elected, the Pope tweeted, "If money and material things become the center of our lives, they seize us and make us slaves." David Willey has been Vatican correspondent for the BBC for over 4 decades. His new book is called The Promise of Francis, The Man, the Pope, and the Challenge of Change.
What the Pope has done basically is to limit the number of people who are allowed to use the Vatican Bank. His solution was not only to take some pretty stringent measures, but also to bring in new people, namely Cardinal Pell, Cardinal George Pell from Australia, former Archbishop of Sydney. He did say that he thought that they've now reached a point of no return, that the reforms are beginning to bite. But it's clearly an enormous problem that the Pope faced when he arrived here and found this state of sloppy accounting.
Now, there's the financial health of the Vatican, which we've just been talking about, but there's also the financial health of parishes across the world. What about the revenue side of this ledger? The more people who attend Mass, the more presumably they put into the offering plate. Are we, David, seeing signs that the Pope's popularity is helping financially beleaguered parishes?
The Americans have always been major contributors to church finances, very generous. And I notice at the moment that the Pope is particularly focusing on American philanthropy to help him restore Vatican art treasures. But in Germany, it's very different because there's a state church tax of 8%. And in Germany, Catholics who are dissatisfied with the church can formally renounce their membership of the Catholic Church, and they don't have to pay the state tax anymore. So there's been a huge departure of hundreds of thousands of German Catholics. The Church has been losing a lot of membership there.
There's something in the book that will especially give readers pause. It doesn't have to do with money. I think it's about mortality. What did Pope Francis say about how long he expects to be in the job?
He's made it fairly clear that he doesn't expect he's going to have a long reign as Pope. He feels his mortality. And I think that if Pope Francis, when he reaches the age of 80, he's made new rules, incidentally, that everybody in the Vatican has to give up their job at the age of 80, not only for voting in elections, but also for doing jobs. And if he ever feels that he's not up to carrying on and he'd like to pass the baton to a successor, he will do so, because it's now, I think, established that popes can resign. And that is a very interesting concept, because, of course, for centuries, it's always been regarded as a job for life.
Speaking to us from Rome, the BBC's Vatican correspondent David Willey's new book is called The Promise of Francis, The Man, the Pope, and the Challenge of Change. David, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Willey's book also includes the tale of the time a previous pope appointed a priest to run the Vatican Bank, formerly known as the Institute for the Works of Religion. The former Archbishop of Chicago had little formal financial training and was sent to a 6-week crash course at Harvard to get up to speed. The story doesn't turn out very well. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.